Welcome to 3GT, a podcast where a pastor, parishioner, and professor have lively conversations on practical Christian living from a Reformed perspective. For more information, visit our website at 3GT.fm. Welcome back to another episode of 3GT. My name is Aaron Sams. I'm here with Kyle Borg and with Barry York. And today, gentlemen, I would love to pick your brains about this concept of elder visitation. So I've been part of Reformed churches for quite a while now. And every so often I get an email or a phone call or just a quick, you know, tap on the shoulder when I'm in church. And one of the elders would like to set up a time when he can come over and just visit with my wife and I and chat with the kids as well and just kind of check in on us. And it's always been a pleasant experience. It's been a positive experience. We've appreciated being, being followed up with and, realizing that we are under the oversight of elders at a church. And I, to be perfectly honest, I'm not really sure what the origin of that practice is or what it's for or what it's all about or what do you guys talk about then at your session meetings after you do all these elder visitations. It's never been a negative experience, but I have very little information about the practice itself. So anything you could bring to my knowledge or to that of our listeners?
Well, we're definitely not going to tell you what we talk about after we're there.
Oh, come on.
You're trying to divulge all of our secrets. So, no, isn't it a little weird? I remember growing up, I grew up in an evangelical church, and we didn't have, by any means, elder visits at all. In fact, we didn't have elders in our church. We had a board of deacons and then trustees. So getting used to this in coming into a Reformed and a Presbyterian church was somewhat difficult for me to get used to. But I would say that usually the biblical grounding for this is often found in Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, right? He's getting ready to set sail to leave them. They're on the beach. They have a powwow, a very emotional powwow. And Paul really reminds them of his own ministry among them and then adds to that by saying, you know, when I leave, I know people are going to creep in. And so you need to fulfill the work of the eldership. You need to do, in some sense, what I've set the example doing. And one of the things that Paul highlights that he had done as he was in Ephesus is he says in Acts 20:20, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. Mm-hmm. There is this, as I've come to understand it, as a pastor and as an elder, my primary responsibility is what we often call the ministry of the word and prayer. But the ministry of the word, while it's centered and focused on the pulpit, it also, in a sense, extends beyond that to this thing I call household visitations. And so just to give you a biblical reason, and we can talk more and unpack this a little more, but that would be one of the primary places that is founded upon. And I've had people in my life, I've had a pastor who has exemplified that so well to me, this idea from going house to house and doing pastoral visits. And I think Barry probably is pretty well acquainted with him as well.
Yes, you must be speaking of John Tweed.
I am.
Yes, yes. John has been a real mentor to a lot of us. He's now a retired minister from the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And in his retirement, John has been, he's probably been in, I don't know exactly how many congregations, because he's been back to some a few times, but I know that the last count, he was up to 26, 27 different places where he had gone and served anywhere from a month to 6 months, maybe even a year in time. And he's just legendary for his visitation ministry. Wherever I go, and if I get into interactions with people in different congregations, often I hear his name. And it's not that he visited people when he was there. He continues to write notes and make phone calls, and so he's taught me a lot when I've been around him, and I know with him living in Kyle's town. I'm sure Kyle's learned a great deal from him as well.
Yeah, he's a real gem. You know, Barry, you mentioned not only does he visit people when he was a pastor, not only did he visit people, but when he left churches. I mean, this is a guy who on the dot calls those that he's connected to every year to either wish them a happy birthday or to wish them an anniversary. John and I go out to lunch every Wednesday and he gives me the list of, yeah, I called this person and that person. It was their birthday and anniversary. And I'm sitting there going, man, you know, I don't even know my kids' birthdays. I don't think I could rattle all five of those off. But, you know, maybe somewhat anecdotally, he carries this little black book in his front pocket and it goes with him wherever he is. Mm. And every year at the beginning of the year, when he gets his new pocketbook, he sits down and he writes in all the anniversaries and birthdays. But not only does he do that, you know, he's still, he's been a man who has gone house to house. Mm-hmm. When I first came here to Winchester, he went along often with me to get me acclimated to it. We had not been, even in the RPCNA, we had not really been in a church that had gone house to house. So it's something that I felt very strongly about when I became a pastor. Like I said, I think it's an extension of the ministry of the word. But it was nothing that I had ever really seen done and seen practiced. And that's where John was such a help to me, is going door to door and house to house with the widows, with the widowers, with young married moms, with young men. It was just always active and about getting into people's mm-hmm. homes.
So guys, as pastors and as elders, what's the nature of the visit, and what, you know, what's the purpose of the visit, and what can we who are, you know, receiving the visit, what can we expect? What should we be looking to either do or get out of such a visit?
Aaron, if I might just fill out just a little bit more what Kyle was sharing earlier about sure. the scriptures, yeah. The verse he was referring to in Acts, Paul is urging the elders to take care of the flock of God. And at the heart of all of this is really shepherding. It's caring for people, not just seeing them as people who come and support the ministries of the church, and particularly there on the Lord's Day worshiping, but that the pastors and elders, and you know, the word pastor comes from the word shepherd, that we're going to shepherd God's people, that we're going to care for them. And so getting into their family lives, their personal lives, not in an intrusive way, but in a caring way, is just at the heart of being a shepherd. You want to know your people. And so I think that's, again, what Kyle and I really see in John, is he just has this heart that just beats for people, and he wants to encourage them. He wants to know how to pray for them. He wants to be able to visit them in good times, so that if there's counseling needs, he can come alongside and help them during those times of trouble as well. So this is what we're really talking about, is shepherding God's people.
And not only that, and Aaron, we'll get to your question, but I want to add, Barry, you talked about counseling and praying for, I find as well, for preaching.
Yes, yes.
You know, we live in a day where celebrity preaching has really stolen, in a sense, this personal element of preaching. But
amen.
We preach to those who are in front of us. You know, you think of Acts chapter 2, when Peter on the day of Pentecost raises his voice, it specifically says he raises his voice and he looks to those in front of him and he preaches the word. And pastors always need to be preaching to those in front of them. And household visits can give you a little bit of a sense. Where are people? What are the questions they're asking? You know, when you ask for prayer requests, you know where their hearts are. And so how, as you come to the word on the Lord's Day then to preach the word, how can I make this applicable very specifically to the people in front of me? You know, I sometimes tell people my sermons get put on sermon audio and I blush at that. And one of the reasons, one, I hate my recorded voice, but two, I say, you know, my sermons aren't preached for people on the internet. They are preached for the people in my immediate circumference. And I think that household visits are really is in a sense sermon preparation.
Yeah. And it complements. I tell my students all the time that your preaching in the pulpit is going to be complemented by the preaching and the teaching and the interactions you have in the home. I feel like some of my best sermons have been in a living room with just another person who I know and who I can take God's word and really speak it into their heart and life. And when you're speaking and preaching and teaching on that personal level, then I think that helps cultivate relationships. So when people come to hear you preach publicly, they're wanting to hear from you because they trust you as their shepherd. So I really think what you're saying, Kyle, is so important.
But back to your question, Aaron, the question was?
Yeah, just the nature and the purpose of the visit from your perspective as an elder or a pastor. And you guys have touched on that a little bit. And then just, I guess, what types of things should I expect to occur in a visit like this as someone who's receiving that visit?
I expect fresh baked cookies to be presented to me through every door I walk through. So if you're looking, that's what I, you know, I personally, and Barry, who is much more experienced, can correct me. And I want to sit at his feet here in a moment. You know, in my mind, I have I try to get to every household in our congregation at least once a year for what might be called a formal visit. But what I do a lot of, I think, is a lot of informal visit. And so it depends on how I distinguish that depends on how I interact. So I have people in my mind that I need to visit once a week, once every other week, once a month, and then other families who probably, one, don't have the time, but two, I just keep in touch with in other ways. But, you know, if I go visit a widow, personally, I don't take every opportunity in that visit to be teaching or something like that. Part of it is just investing in their life. So what are you up to? Oh, what are you reading? You know, whether it's reading your Bible, whether it's reading for entertainment, tell me about the walks you're going on this week. Sometimes, and that's partly for me to break down barriers in our congregation. I don't want people to be intimidated and scared of shepherding visits. I don't want them to be like, oh no, the pastor's coming over. Oh, you know, what have I said in the last 24 hours that I shouldn't have said, or what have I done? I want them to know that more than just assuming this, in one sense, assuming this role of teacher all the time, I want to get to know them. I want to relate to them. I want to be there. I want friendships to be cultivated. And so I don't always feel when I do visits that I need to assume a posture of the teacher or even in a sense the pastor. Let's just relate. Tell me what's going on. What are you up to lately? But then there are times where, like I said, our formal visits where we're a little more purposed and, you know, we try to draw out a lot of what can we be praying for you about? You know, are there concerns you have with the ministry of the church? Things like that. But I leave it in Barry's far more competent hands.
Yeah. Oh, no. That sounds really good. Going back to the approach that John taught me when I was hearing about him and a younger man wanting to learn more about how to do this appropriately. He's pretty systematic when he was functioning as a pastor with a session, and he involved his other elders with him and arranged a schedule, usually an annual schedule where he at a certain point in the year could get around to the different homes or households in the ministry. And then one of the things that I really appreciated that John showed me was that he had a questionnaire, and he actually had sheets with sometimes it'd be 5 questions or 7 or up to 10 questions, and that he would actually give these questions to the households before they came so that the people aren't thinking that, oh my goodness, the pastor's coming over and they're going to grill us on the catechism or something like that, which historically was a part of elder visitations. It was historically in Reformed churches, they would use this as a way of catechizing the people. We don't tend to do that as much, at least that's not been my experience in the places where I've seen visitation done. It tends to be more of a spiritual checkup. Asking questions about just how they're doing personally, family-wise, professionally. There'll be questions often about their family devotions, their church attendance, their relationships with people in the church. Sometimes when we were doing this, we would get thematic. One year we really wanted to stimulate people to offering themselves, their gifts up to the Lord, and so we had a few questions in there about what did they view their gifts being, or where did they see themselves affirmed in the body of Christ? Are there ways that we could help them or come alongside and explore ways that they could be serving in the congregation? So I think putting it you know, the elders getting together and deciding what kind of visitation they want to do is important. And then also then communicating that to the congregation so they know what to expect when they get the knock at the door.
Yeah. So how do you cultivate that idea of people, you know, welcoming these types of visits rather than, you know, kind of being afraid of these types of visits? I mean, as a teacher, you know, if you get a you call home and the parents immediately are like, oh no, why is the teacher calling home? But one thing we do in education is that we try as best we can to call or email parents with positive things that their students are doing, rather than only calling for the negative. I mean, is that a similar approach that you would take, you know, as a pastor with your people in your congregation, just, you know, visiting a little more casually before, you know, you would ever hopefully, you know, ever need to visit more formally? Or like, I don't know, what's your approach in keeping fear at bay?
Go ahead, Barry.
Oh, I was just going to say what Kyle outlined earlier is really important. It's the fact that he's visiting, he's being a friend to the people in his congregation, so that they get to know him and know him on a personal level, so that when the session decides to do something more formal, it isn't as intimidating. I would just add one other thing is preaching about this or teaching about it, telling people through a message. If you're preaching through the pastoral epistles and preaching on the eldership, or in a class where you're talking about the nature of the church, just reminding people why the elders are there. Their role is to be that of encourager, counselor. If the elders are fulfilling one of their qualifications, which is being hospitable, then they should be having people in their homes so that when they come to go to the home of the congregants, it's just not so strange that breaks down those barriers, like Kyle said.
So, yeah, go ahead, Kyle. Yeah, so I would just continue to emphasize a lot of it is consistency. You know, a lot of churches don't practice regular visits. And even when they do, a lot of times in my observations, whether it's fair or not, it's the pastor who makes a lot of visits, but it's rarely the ruling elders. But I think as you just cultivate this consistency, one of the things, and I love John for it, one of the greatest things he's taught me is what I call efficient shepherding visits. You know, when he goes and visits somebody, he does it consistently. He visits so many people, but he has mastered the brief visit. And part of that, you know, makes it less intimidating. Oh no, the pastor's coming over. Do I have to block out the whole afternoon because he's just going to sit there and talk to me? You know, and John has just been very good. John has a wonderful way of keeping his visits 15 to 20 minutes. Unless it's more of a formal visit, then we're going to spend more time talking. I think things like that, though, the consistency of that begins to break it down. But, you know, it is awkward. It's awkward to have a formal shepherding visit. It's awkward for many people in the church. And if I'm allowed to give a trade secret, it's sometimes awkward for elders. We've got to go in and we've got to ask some difficult questions sometimes. You know, we go in, I remember talking to a ruling elder once, and we were talking about visitation, and he was a wonderful ruling elder that practiced it often. And I said, well, what's the greatest challenge to you? And he said, the greatest challenge in shepherding visits is that you can sit with people and ask them all the questions that you need to, but if they're completely unwilling to be honest, it's no good. And he said that there was a time he went on an elder visit one evening, and they talked about the marriage. They talked about how they're doing. And the husband and wife were fine. We're fine. We're fine. The next day they filed for divorce. He said, you know, that can make it hard. That got a little beyond what your specific question, Aaron. But I think consistency is a huge thing. Being regularly in these people's lives, in your church life. So
consistency is good, but that also implies a frequency. Now, Kyle, you mentioned you try to get to your congregation, you know, at least once a year. Do you think that's kind of an ideal frequency for this kind of visit? Would you like it to be more? I don't want to put you on the spot and, like, you know, make you feel inadequate about getting out once a year, or maybe that's ambitious. I don't know. Like, what? Let's put it this way: in an ideal world, how often would you like these types of visits to occur for an elder to visit a family in a congregation?
Aaron, I never feel inadequate about my ministry. Nah, just kidding. That was a joke.
Should I ask you about how long your sermons are again?
Yeah, no, please don't. Don't ever. I feel inadequate every day. I think a lot of it depends on your context. So maybe Barry will have an interesting mm-hmm. perspective on this as well. But in Winchester, where I am, quite literally, 95% of the congregation is related. And so our congregation keeps very close tabs on each other's lives. You know, even if we weren't to make one formal visit a year, we would pretty much know most of the things. I think this is accurate. We would know most of the things going on in our people's lives. And so a lot of it, I think, depends on your context. In a very close-knit congregation like I have here, I think once a year, will suffice personally. If we were more of a commuting church, a church that had members further away where your lives weren't intersecting and networking in every conceivable way like it is in Winchester, I would personally be encouraging more of a regular few times a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good. I think you want to evaluate your ministry and see what's best. The elders should be thinking what's best for this ministry. We didn't always do it every year because we were a very close-knit congregation and the elders were having people in their homes a lot. And we felt and there might be particular things going on in the life of the congregation to try to do it this year. We just didn't feel it was necessary. But you don't want it too much time to go by because, as Kyle's alluding to, if there's not that consistency and that knowledge that this is what this church does, then it just makes it more difficult once you start another round of visitations again. I think you want to keep it regular enough that people know to expect that that's going to happen during their time with you.
And in there's a very good book that really got a lot of press a number of years ago by Timothy Whitmer called The Shepherd Leader. And, you know, far from maybe setting down hard and fast rules, I really appreciated the paradigm in which he talked about shepherding is shepherds do four things. They know their sheep, they feed their sheep, they lead their sheep, and they protect their sheep. Mm-hmm. And visitation encompasses all of those, but it's maybe in a unique way, knowing your sheep.
So guys, do you think the location is an important part of this, like actually meeting in the family's home, or is that kind of, you know, consequential? And if it is important, you know, those of us who are receiving elders and pastors into our home, you know, is that a good opportunity for us to show hospitality, or should we just kind of keep this as simple and let's just sit down and chat as possible?
I just was with a pastor from Ireland, and he was recounting that when he would do elders visitations, he would expect, I mean, he would get a full meal. And if he had two in a night, he would get two full meals. I know a young man who was a student who went over and did a summer internship. And when he came back from Ireland, he had to go on a diet because his elders visitations were keeping him quite full.
So it is a good opportunity if we want to, we can show a little food love to the elders and to the pastors. Yeah. But what do you guys think about the location? Is that a necessary part of this? Is that just kind of out of convenience that we meet in someone's home, or do you think that's an important factor in this?
I think what Kyle was saying, just knowing your sheep's important, but if you're never in someone's home, I don't think you really know them, because there's just so many things you pick up when you go into someone's home, the way people relate to one another, the children. There's just so many things that are going on that I think it's good to, again, to me, it doesn't have to be every year I'm going to get in someone's home. I know some people feel pretty strongly about that. I think it's more evaluating the ministry and finding a good balance for the people God's called you to serve.
All right. Well, guys, we're getting close to the end of our time. Any closing comments about this idea of elder visitation, of pastoral visitation at all?
Well, I just raised one quick one in my mind is, what about the children? And people ask, should my children be there? And I say, yes, I want the children to be present during elders' visitations. I think it's important for them to know their shepherds as well. And then if something sensitive arises or a couple's wanting counsel, you know, there could be a break so the children could be put in another room or moved off so that you can have a deeper interaction if necessary. But I think children need to be shepherded. The lambs need to be shepherded as well.
Kyle, any final thoughts?
No, I agree with that. The children need to be shepherded. I appreciate that emphasis. Often we view the shepherding visits more for mom and dad, but we can't neglect the children. And I think it's a great opportunity, especially being in homes, in the homes with children, right? I've always noticed when I go visit people, it's the kids. Oh, the Kyle's coming. You know, he's, I'm going to show him my toys. And, some people might regard that as a waste of time. I regard that as a very valuable moment of shout. Here is what this kid is living for, right? His dinosaurs. So tell me about your dinosaurs. So I think that's an important aspect.
Well, that's about all the time we have. Hopefully any elders out there are encouraged by this to get out and visit those in their congregation. And those of you who are listening, next time you receive an elder visit, don't be intimidated. Know that they're just there to just check on your spiritual health, just to be there for you and to shepherd you along the way. This is not any sort of formal evaluation in any way, shape, or form. It's just a way for them to better know how to serve you. Well, this has been another episode of 3GT. Please check us out at 3GT.fm and on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll see you next time.